Hey guys, what's going on? This is Moose. So, with the X-Men review that I'm about to release, I recorded it just like 5 minutes ago, and I was gonna post it on YouTube, but I don't have the editing potential to make it where I could put it on YouTube and have none of the monetization not fuck me over. So I'm deciding to actually move Moose at the Movies for now onto just a podcast format where I just basically riff on movies. And, talk about the good stuff and the bad stuff and just put it on to the podcast format. I'm going to put it on through Anchor. If you guys are listening right now, you're obviously listening to it either on Anchor or iTunes or something. So following this quick little announcement, it's going to be right off onto the X-Men review. So thank you guys for understanding. I know I talk about how, I did do like my outro on Moose at the Movies. That was like my YouTube thing. I'm now just making it into a podcast format just so it's a lot easier to digest. And honestly, it saves me a little bit more time, and I feel like I'll do more reviews because I don't need to edit it through ShotCut or through Premiere or I want to say Movie Maker, but that's a really dumb one. So I don't have to do any of that. So you guys will be getting hopefully more review content from me. If you want to listen to me talk about Brightburn or X-Men Dark Phoenix again in a more lighter tone, I will be reviewing it on Android's Amazing Podcast, which is a comic book podcast that I do with my coworkers at Android's Amazing Comics down in Sayville. Hope you guys enjoy the X-Men Dark Phoenix riff that I have. It's about 30 minutes or so. Because I don't just talk about Dark Phoenix, I talk about the other movies. But y'all get into that. All right, guys, thank you for understanding, and enjoy. Right, guys, this time, oh man. Sorry I've been gone. I was doing other things. I've been recording podcasts and I've been working, so I haven't been able to post anything here. But Jesus Christ. I saw X-Men Dark Phoenix. Don't go see it. Save your money. Show them that you know it's bad. So before I get into like a review of X-Men Dark Phoenix, I want to just talk about how it got there and why this franchise is thankfully over at Disney and what they can do with it. So this is just going to be a generalized X-Men prequel trilogy, quadrilogy, whatever Days of Future Past counts as in, like review oversight kind of deal. So let's talk about X-Men First Class, probably the best X-Men movie to come out in, oh, I want to say like 10 years. I think it came out in 2011. And that movie was fantastic. I love seeing Professor X and Magneto's origin stories. And I love Michael Fassbender and James McAvoy. So seeing them play those roles, it was just perfect, honestly. I liked seeing Professor X with hair for a little bit. And McAvoy does look good when he's bald with the last movies and with Split. He looks pretty good. But X-Men First Class does have its flaws. It introduces Mystique as well. And they make her a good guy? She's always been morally gray, but it's weird to see her just grow up with Professor X and be a good guy for the most part. She like joins Magneto every once in a while. She tries to kill Trask in Days of Future Past. We'll get to that. But they introduce like Havoc, and they make him older than Cyclops, and then Darwin is killed, but he shouldn't be able to be killed. Whatever. Hank, because Nicholas Holt doesn't want to be in makeup forever. Hank is just a human half the time. I know he's more human when he's first introduced, and then as later on he becomes bestial. But it's just weird for Nick Holt to be like, no, the makeup takes too long, and I get that. But he's like, I have a serum and I don't want to be the Beast anymore. It's like, all right, whatever. I get it though. You don't want to be a blue man. I wouldn't want to be a blue man. Yeah, I'd want to be Nightcrawler. Let's be real. He's pretty dope. So, X-Men First Class is probably the best one to come out of this new prequel stuff. I know a lot of you will say Days of Future Past is good, but I don't really count that as part of the prequel trilogy. I do First Class Apocalypse, Dark Phoenix, because yes, well, Dark, well. Days of Future Past takes place in the 70s, along with the other two movies. It's got the future stuff, and it messes with the timeline a bunch, and it just confuses everybody. But it introduces Quicksilver, so that's cool. Sorry, tangent. Going back to First Class. That movie's probably a solid, like, 8 or 9 out of 10. There's a lot of stuff they do wrong. There's a lot of stuff they do right, though. And it's good to see the characters in a better light. And it sympathizes Magneto a little bit. And Fassbender can. He performs his ass off for that role. He is fantastic. This movie made me love Fassbender. And then I saw his The Snowman movie, and I was like, ah, all right, maybe next time. This wasn't good. He did fine, but it wasn't a good movie. Now moving on to Days of Future Past, based off the comic book story, but not really. It's really good. Like I said before, I don't count it really as part of the trilogy, quadrilogy thing, because they just use it as like an intercept for the timeline, which I thought was pretty cool. It's technically like the fourth movie in the old X-Men, the Bryan Singer trilogy, after Last Stand, and they retcon a lot of stuff, which is fine. But it's cool to see Wolverine actually interact with the rest of them, because the only scene he did in First Class was to flip them off when they were at a bar when they were recruiting X-Men. He wasn't interested, so I was like, okay, Wolverine, that's a good cameo. But then they got him fully in Days of Future Past because they realized fucking how crazy having Wolverine in the past would be, because they could do the Days of Future Past storyline, which is great. But oh man, the movie had some holes. I'd say that one's definitely a 7, 8 out of 10 instead of the 8, 9 that I gave First Class. It's a great movie. There are some dumb parts. I love Peter Dinklage as Bolivar Trask. I confuse the plot too much because Mystique's character flip-flops like every other movie. She's like a good guy and then she's a bad guy. So like she's there to kill Trask because of the Sentinels, right? And Wolverine has to stop her from killing them because then he becomes a martyr. And then the president and stuff, and like the government goes through with the Sentinel program to stop mutants. I get that. Cool. But like Mystique also wants to kill the president with a question mark? I don't know. I haven't seen that movie in a long time. Probably since it first came out, 2014. I don't really watch the X-Men movies twice, except for First Class, because, jeez, no. Not that they're bad, just that they're not good. These two movies, First Class and Futures Past, were really, really good. And they were setting up a great story. I believe it was Kinberg who was directing these. And he was setting up a great story with the young X-Men and, like, setting up how the Xavier Institute and the Jean Grey School comes into, fruition, and how the US doesn't hate them anymore. So it was cool to see that kind of stuff. And then we get X-Men Apocalypse with Oscar Isaac as Apocalypse. He did great as Apocalypse. He looked fine. I wish he was a little bit buffer, but that's just, comics. And jeez, just no. Not as bad as a no of Dark Phoenix, but a pretty bad no. Olivia Munn was a great Psylocke, but she did not return. Spoilers for X-Men Dark Phoenix. She does not return. She was about done with that. She was like, nope, fuck that. Ty Sheridan does great as Cyclops in this movie. This is his first real soiree into it. Like, his first big one. And I think that's good. Ty Sheridan was in Boy Scouts Survive. Boy Scouts Guide to Surviving the Zombie Apocalypse or something like that. Scouts Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. That's what it is. He was great. He was also in Last Man Standing as one of the daughter's boyfriends. He was pretty cool. So I've seen him. He's also in, I want to call it Dirt. No, not The Dirt. That's the Motley Crue movie. He was in a movie with Matthew McConaughey, I think. I'll fact check myself later and post it in the description what he was doing. So I like him. He was okay. Sophie Turner is Game of Thrones fame, and she's doing Jean Grey in this movie. She's great in this one. She actually has a performance until the end when they force the Phoenix down her throat, but that's a whole thing for a different day. And then in Dark Phoenix, oh man, I'll get to that. They also introduce Evan Peters as Quicksilver, which is by far. No, they did that in Days of Future Past. He's by far the best part of that movie. In this movie, he also has a great scene. But they introduce the other young kids, and it's, Nightcrawler's in it, and he's great. I think the kid is awesome. He nails the accent, he nails the look, and he kind of gets the feeling of how Nightcrawler, especially in Dark Phoenix, doesn't like to kill people, huh? So that kid does great as Nightcrawler. And then we have Angel introduced. Angel is just terrible. What did they do? Like, they set him up to be Dark Angel, Archangel, which is fine. But they made him a dickhead. Angel's like a really nice, well, not nice because he's a posh, rich guy, but he's not like a douche, you know? You know, he's been a fairly decent guy. So introducing him as like this edgy dude, and I think they kill him. I don't even remember X-Men Apocalypse. It came out, what, 3 years ago? I don't even fucking remember that movie. I remember the Quicksilver scene because you have to, and I remember some of the Fassbender stuff because, yes, my God, do they strain this. And during this movie, there's some behind-the-scenes stuff with Jennifer Lawrence and Nicholas Holt. They were dating when they first started filming the movies, and they broke it off during Apocalypse. So their chemistry goes down the drain pretty quick because they do not like each other anymore. Well, they may not like each other, but, you know, they're not as caring for each other as they once were. So it was really weird to see the good dynamic from 1 and 2, well, from First Class and Days of Future Past, which is like a pseudo 2, into Apocalypse, where they don't share as many scenes together, and when they do, it feels forced almost. The chemistry's just not there anymore. So that movie ends with just nothing. They stop Professor X. They stop Apocalypse, and then at the end of the movie, they get these awesome suits. Cyclops gets his classic blue suit, not as classic as the 80s one. No, 92, X-Men 92, from 92. And Nightcrawler gets a great one. Quicksilver's looks pretty cool. It's kind of similar to his costume that he has now, but, you know. And then it just ends. And then we have X-Men Dark Phoenix, where no one wanted to be in this movie, apparently. Nobody. Jennifer Lawrence, this is a full spoilers, by the way. Full spoiler talk about X-Men Dark Phoenix. Evan Peters is in the first 20 minutes of the movie, maybe. He does the space mission, and then he goes to confront Jean at her house. And then Jean throws him to the side, and he breaks like all of his bones, and he's out of commission until the last scene in the movie where he tells kids to slow down. I get it, because like, oh, he ran too fast and he hurt himself. But he's the best part of these movies, in my opinion. Why are you taking him out of it? He could have helped any point in the fight scenes by the end. He could have easily taken out half the dudes. But then again, I guess it's a crutch for them, so they decided to take him out, whatever. So he's out of the movie for the most part. I think he was filming a new season of American Horror Story. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's what he was doing. Because that's the show that makes him money and not these movies. And then Jennifer Lawrence is in it for about the same amount of time as Quicksilver. Because Jean Grey kills Mystique for absolutely no reason, like out of nowhere. It's not a good movie by any means. But when I saw that scene happen, I was like, this has potential to be a good movie, but why do it now? They could have killed her way later. Because she was, even though Professor X is the main like focal point of this, they did make Mystique a heavy character in the whole franchise. And seeing, oh, man. And seeing Mystique take a forefront role in the life of Jean Grey was cool. And like, oh, no, I'm your friend. We're family. You know, stick with us. Come back to us. You promised Scott you'd come back. And then she just kind of flicks her away onto a hoe, basically. One of the, you know, pitchfork. She pushes her onto a pitchfork. I don't. Whoa, that's a dumb way to kill her. That's so dumb. Like, in X-Men Last Stand, Professor X dies by getting, well, not dies. We know he's alive by the end. He dies by getting blown up by Jean Grey. Why didn't they do that with Mystique? I think that would have been a lot better. Blow her up like they did, because then it would have been an homage to the original. And it would have been a better death. Besides, you're on the pitchfork. Like, I get it, but it just didn't work. It didn't work. So, how they got to that place was, the movie starts off with a flashback of Jean Grey as an 8-year-old kid in her car, and she gets into a car accident caused by her mental powers, and it kills her mother, and to her, it kills her father. But it's later revealed that Professor X put up mental walls, because the dad didn't want Jean anymore, so the dad basically gave her to Professor X for adoption, and he didn't want to hurt Jean, which I get, but I feel like you shouldn't have lied. You should have just said, your dad's sending you with me because I can help you, instead of just going, nah, your dad's dead, dude. Don't do that. Like, what? Professor X. It goes back to, I quote this now, Jay and Miles explain the X-Men, the X-Men podcast where they talk about it from like the beginning to the end. Jay always talks about how Professor X is the biggest douchebag and the biggest villain in the entire X-Men franchise, because he'll go, no, we must protect the students, and then he sends them out on missions to kill them, and then he's also just a dickhead, period. So, you know, I now see what they were talking about. In the old movies, you don't really see it as much. Like, you see it a little bit in First Class and a little bit in Days of Future. Because in Days of Future Past, he becomes, like, an angsty dude. Because when Hank makes the serum to be non-bestial, it gives... And he gives it to Professor X, it lets him walk again. Which, of course, that's what he would want. But then he can't use his mental powers. And they touch upon that in Apocalypse, I think, as well. Or that's in Apocalypse. Dude, these movies aren't good. I can't, like, connect the dots between these. So, after the flashback happens, it goes back to, quote-unquote, current day, which is 92. And it's Professor X, Jean Grey, Cyclops. They do the space mission. And Jean gets attacked by the Phoenix Force. And then she basically dies for, like, 3 or 4 minutes. And then she comes back. And then... Now that they saved the space mission, the president's thanking them. Professor X goes to this dinner, and Beast and Mystique are to watch the kids as they have a party. And this is when we see Dazzler, which is really cool. Originally, it was supposed to be in Apocalypse, and she was supposed to be Taylor Swift, but on, like, a cover of just a record. But I don't know who they did. I don't know who they got for it. It might have been Taylor for this one. But they got Dazzler with the cheesy old disco outfit and the blue lines on her face, and she was just sitting in the middle of the party throwing sparkles everywhere. It was really cool. It was one of the better scenes, in my opinion. And then Scott and Jean are talking, and Jean's drinking a shit ton of water and juice and stuff. She's pounding everything back because the Phoenix is, like, heating up her body, I guess, or giving her a migraine or something. I can't even tell you. And then... She has, like, an aneurysm, I guess, or, like, a mental break because she sees the fire and she has, like, a panic attack. And then she knocks everyone out at the party. And then Mystique and Beast run over and help everybody. And then Jean Grey wakes up in her bed while Professor X is trying to enter her mind. And that's when Jean finds out that her dad is alive and she goes to visit her dad. And then the scene happens where Quicksilver gets fucked up and Mystique dies. And then it jumps to a funeral scene for Mystique, which I get is fine. I was getting a little sad for it. Didn't really cry. I just couldn't. Like, it usually scenes like that will get me teary-eyed and stuff. Not this one. Not X-Men Dark Phoenix. No. Not X-Men Dark Phoenix. You don't deserve it. So, after that... Now, granted, this is about halfway through the movie. What? I didn't... The movie jumps back and forth between, like, coherent storytelling and why the fuck is this taking so long to progress? I remember watching... I'm going to break off the story tangent for a sec. I remember watching it last night, and at one point I had to go take a piss, so I paused it, and just... I was an hour and, like, 19 minutes in. No. Just no. And I was like, is this the end? What's happening? How are we? It's an hour and 46 minutes. That's the total of the movie. And we're an hour and 19 minutes in. And I'm like, there's only 30 minutes left in this movie? What are they going to fucking do? And I'll get to that in a sec. I'll get to the scene where that's at that time. So after Jean kills Mystique, she has a panic attack in an alleyway that goes into a bar and disguises herself as an old man and gets a drink. I think it's just water. I can't really tell. And then the bad guys... Oh my god, I skipped to the bad guys. Because they're just... I don't even know. So I was talking to people about this. And I was told that the bad guys are the broccoli people. Or like the weird sentient plant people. That Dark Phoenix destroyed. Or that Phoenix destroyed on the way to different planets. But it's hard to tell. So it ends up being this random actress... I'll put her name in the description because I do not fucking know. And she just basically becomes, like, I thought it was the Hellfire Club originally, but that was the first movie. Because it's just a bunch of dudes who share a hive mind. And then I was like, oh, maybe it's the Brood. But they would have showed us what the Brood looked like, because how could you not show us the Brood? I thought they changed the Brood's backstory to be, like, their hive... I know they're hive mind-ish, but, like, I thought they changed the Brood to be shapeshifters or body snatchers. But no, they didn't change it for that. I mean, the broccoli people, I think. So, it's this dog barking, and the woman walks over and sees the dog barking at, like, a spaceship, or a broccoli plant, or whatever. It's super dark and hard to tell. So, it just kills her, I guess, and takes her body. And then she murders everybody at the party she was just at. And then she just starts walking around, and then she meets up with Jean at the bar. And she talks to her, and she's like, I can help you. The X-Men are trying to destroy you because they don't understand you. I can help you harness that power. I can take the power away. But what they don't know is the villain wants to take the power to take over the world because their planet got destroyed, so they want to take over another planet, which is fine. Evil stuff. I think they're actually not bad villains. I don't understand who the fuck they are. But taking the Phoenix for world domination, that's like a good plan. I give him props for a solid plan. And then we have, after that scene, we got Cyclops complaining. And then it jumps to Magneto. Oh no, did I skip the Magneto scene? I don't know if the Magneto scene comes before or after the bar, but I'm going to tell it to you now anyway. Jean flies off to Magneto. And he's on his island in the middle of the New York, like the Pacific Ocean-ish New York area, like near the Statue of Liberty. And I assume it's like their version of Genosha, which is cool. And she lands there and she's confronted by this dude who I thought was Warpath or Proudstar, but instead he looks like a Morlock that whips his hair around, I think. It's hard to tell. At first I was like, oh, it's Omega Ray because I saw the whips, but nope, coming from his head. Whatever. And then this ripoff Psylocke with a knife is basically there. And Magneto comes up, says, hey, how are you doing? What's up? Are you okay? Why'd you come here? And then the military shows up, and Jean's like, no, fuck that. And she crushes one of the planes, one of the helicopters, and then Magneto and her are fighting for the other one. And Magneto's like, I can't hold it. Get into the helicopter and leave. And then Magneto gets all the soldiers in the copter and just, like, throws it, and it flies away. So now the X-Men are wanted by the government and the police, and Professor X loses his connection to the president, basically, by the president going, we don't trust the X-Men anymore, you're mutants. We shouldn't have given you a second chance after the Apocalypse incident and the Days of Future Past incident. And I was like, that's kind of lame. Oh, and touching upon what I was talking about at the end of Apocalypse, the suits don't come back. Nope, they just use the X-Men suits from First Class where they're just the yellow X, which is fine, I guess, but I really wanted to see Cyclops in the blue and Nightcrawler in the red and Storm in, oh, Storm's in this movie. That's how forgettable she is. Storm's in this movie because she was a bad guy in Apocalypse and she becomes a good guy. She's actually okay, but she's in, like, no scenes, and she, like, kind of flirts with Cyclops, which is weird, but whatever. But I wish they had their costumes. So after the Magneto scene is either the bar scene or it's another scene with the villains. I can't tell you, dude. I was so pissed off with this movie halfway through. I was like, nope, can't. So then we get, okay. Then we get a scene where where Beast is talking to Professor X and blaming Mystique's death on him. Because he's like, you know, we're supposed to protect these kids, and we keep throwing them into danger, and you're doing this, and Nicholas Holt gives a good performance. And then Beast fucks off and basically joins Magneto's cause to go kill Phoenix, and he tells Magneto that Mystique was killed by Jean, and he's like, nope, gotta go kill her. So they both go off and kill her. They take his Morlocks or his pseudo-brotherhood, who I can't recognize any of them. I'm a decent X-Men fan. I'm not like a big one. If you want to talk to a big X-Men fan, my buddy James over at Android's Amazing Comics, who does the podcast with me, Android's Amazing Podcast, which I'll pimp at the end. He's one of the biggest X-Men fans, and he could probably tell you who these fucking people are, but I couldn't. So they head to New York or Washington, and Jean Grey fucked off and joined the villains real quick, the main villains. Because she was like, oh, you can take my power away. And then the X-Men start having a fight in, like, Washington Square. They fight with each other and Jean and then one of the villains. They fight each other for a bit. And then Beast is trying to, you know, kill Mystique and stuff. Not Mystique, holy shit. Phoenix. And then the government shows up, and I believe it's, like, the MP officers, the mutant, like, purifiers. Not the villain, not, like, the weird cult thing, but, like, the mutant purifier versions of the government. They're just, like, they have the X-Men, they have the serum that stops them from being mutants, because they shoot Beast with it, and he turns into a human. He turns into a hot English man. I don't know, dude. Just, they start shooting everybody with them, and then they capture them all inside a, in a big van, and they take them away. Now, before that is when the hour and, like, 19-minute mark hits, where Jean is confronted by Magneto, after Magneto, like, throws a train into a building, because, you know, whatever, or a bus, and then Magneto basically gets his shit handed to him, because he's like, I'll stop you, and she's like, no, you won't, and he takes his helmet away, he, like, breaks his helmet into four pieces and shoots him with it and pins him to the wall, and then he gets shot with one of the things, and then everybody gets arrested, and then Professor X finally admits he's wrong, and the villains appear to, because Jean gets knocked out as well, and they're carrying all of the mutants to jail, I guess, or like a super prison, and the villains, the broccoli people, they show up, and they start fucking everybody up. They're, because, like, one guy breaks down the wall, and then all the soldiers start shooting him, and he doesn't go down, and then they start shooting him some more, and then he finally goes down, and then a bunch of them start flooding in, they start killing all the soldiers. The X-Men are like, we can help you, let us go, let us use our powers, we will help you, we're the good guys. The villains are like, we gotta get the girl, whatever, get her. So then the mutants eventually do get out. I forget how. That's how just forgettable this couple scenes are. I watched it last night. I watched it less than 10 hours ago. I can't tell you. And then Phoenix is fighting the final big broccoli person who was the woman from the party. And she goes, well, I can't stop you from killing my friends because you're going to kill me if you take all my powers away. So I'm going to fly you up into space and explode. So she does that. She just goes into space and then blows up. Everyone is sad. And then it cuts to a scene where Scott is putting a sign up on the Xavier School. And it's the Jean Grey School, which they did in the comic books when Jean died. And that was cool. I thought that was an interesting thing. And then it starts going through the hallways of the classroom. You see Storm's a teacher. She's playing with lightning. That's when you see Quicksilver's okay, and he tells the kids to stop running. And the kid that he tells to stop running has pink hair, and it's like a fade. So that's supposed to be Quentin Quire, who is the Phoenix in, like, or he's supposed to be the next Phoenix in the future or whatever. It's Kid Omega. He's basically just one of the more powerful level mutants, Omega level, so because of Kid Omega, and he's just a dickhead. He gets redeeming stuff in West Coast Avengers, which just unfortunately got canceled, written by Kelly Thompson. Oh, jeez. Then it zooms in, and Hank is actually the headmaster now. And everybody's like, where the fuck did Professor X go? It then cuts to London, where Professor X is at a cafe. And in my head, I was like, oh, he's in London. He's going to go meet Moira, because Moira's British or Irish or something. And McTaggart, she's Irish, but I think she's in London. I don't know. My head was like, what's next? What could possibly be worse than now? So he's sitting there, and then Magneto shows up. And I'm like, okay, cool. They get a final resolution, and they become friends again. And Professor X is like, I'm not going back. It's fine. Beast can handle it. The X-Men are better without me. I'm kind of a dickhead. And Magneto goes, I'm not planning on, you know, yelling at you to come back. Why don't we just play chess? And that, it like, harks back to the old trilogy where even though Professor X and Magneto were, like, sworn enemies at that point, they still play chess every once in a while. As, like, hey, we used to be friends. So they play chess. And then it ends. Yay! Well, no, as the chess game starts, it zooms up into the sky, and we see a fiery phoenix. Gah! And then Jean Grey is doing this speech at the end. And that's the movie. Can you believe it? I can't. It's so bad. If you guys pay attention to my personal Twitter, I do this thing called the 2019 film count, where I count all the movies that I've seen. And X-Men Dark Phoenix happened to be my 14th. I know I should be seeing way more because it's June right now and I've only seen 14 movies, but it's only 14 2019 movies. I've seen like 30 movies altogether if you count the 2018 movies that I took a backlog on. I ended up giving it a 4 out of 10 on my review, and I think that's justified with whatever I was just talking about, how I can't remember the plot, how the characters are dumb. They kill off Mystique too early. They should have saved her for a little bit more into the fight. They make Sophie Turner can't act. In this movie, I know she's great in Game of Thrones, and she was pretty good in Apocalypse. And then they make Quicksilver, he doesn't even get one of his cool scenes in this one. Like, in the other two movies when he was introduced, he gets, like, his cool, he puts on his headphones and runs and saves people. The one time he gets to be quick is on the spaceship when he just starts unbuckling people and throwing them back to Nightcrawler. No. Just no. Make him better. If I had to give this thing pros, I, of course, would have to say Fassbender and McAvoy always bring good stuff to the table, even if they're given a bad script. And the Nightcrawler stuff was awesome. I like seeing Nightcrawler just teleport around and do his ninja flips, and the voice is really good for him. I forget the kid's name. He does it pretty well. Halfway through the movie, Nightcrawler, because at this point he's still a kid, so he's not used to killing people. During the scene when everybody's breaking out of the van, he sees people just get murdered, and he's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to start killing people. And he goes ham. He stabs, like, two people with metal pipes. He breaks a guy's neck with his tail. He throws a woman in front of a train. Like, all right, that's cool. Oh, that's where they were. They were not in a van, like a military police van. They were actually in a military train. That's what it is. I'm sorry. They're in a train. Because Magneto crushes one of the things to kill one of the guys. So it was cool. Cool effects all around. I'm not going to lie. The effects were actually pretty dope. I don't like the effects that they put on Sophie Turner's face when they made her Phoenix happen. It looks like her head got like four times like wider. And her veins were like, urgh. She's like having a super migraine the whole time. Anyway. So yeah. X-Men Dark Phoenix. 4 out of 10. Don't fucking see it. Don't pay for it. I didn't. Oh, man. All right, guys. Well, hopefully I'll post more consistent videos. This one was kind of just off the cuffs. I thought about it while I was in the shower, and I was like, I'll just talk about it. Why not? Thanks for watching and listening, and I've been Moose, and I'll see you guys at the movies.